Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. First of all, Happy New Year. It's the first show of the year. Now we are in the new format where we're going for 1 hour. So please call in early if you're going to call, and I would love to hear from you guys. I would love to hear your thoughts, your feelings, things that you think we should be doing, things that you think we should not be doing. What are your feelings with regards to the body politics? I want to know everything. I want to hear and feel the direction that you guys are feeling that the country is going at this point in time. This was an uneventful week other than it being the end of the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever your flavor season, but it was a great season, but we have a whole lot of work ahead of us. Have you been following the news this week? Seems like it's going to be a political storm in the country this week, or rather the country this year, with the elections coming, with bills to be passed, with the average middle-class American hurting. Who is going to be on their side? Is it going to be us? Or will we relegate those or relegate it to the moneyed interest as usual? Well, this week, the piece that's going to be dropped at the Daily Coast, I titled it this week, what did I title it? I titled it, "The Ideology That Sacrifices Humanity to Satisfy the Rich." It's going to be dropped in the evening on Sunday. Please check it out there and be a part of the comments. Last week I got sliced to smithereens at the Daily Coast by the vast majority of the base because I dare said that I thought what Edward Snowden did wasn't the right thing to do. You take your lumps, folks. Some people are going to like what you write sometimes. Sometimes they're not going to like what you write. But that was my opinion, and I gave a reasoning for my opinion. Many people disagreed with it. Some people just, the mere fact that I came out against Snowden, they forgot to read the text. They assumed that I was supporting a vigilant state, a state that oppresses, a state that continuously monitors folks. That's not the case at all. The only thing that I constantly told the folks out there is that Snowden was the wrong messenger. He was a flawed messenger. That's a piece that's worth checking out as well. I mean, there were several. There was over 1,000, the last time I looked at it, it was over 1,100 comments on it, and that's been over a week ago, so it's probably quite a bit crazier now. But it was a very interesting discussion, and I did have those who came out and offered some support. Anyhow, let us kind of get busy with what the subject is at hand. First of all, what we got to talk about today. Title it, Rich Attacks, Red State Citizen Sentenced to Death. Some people take exception to that phraseology. I tell you something, I think one of the reasons good has not been as good as it should have been in this country is the mere fact that one side always seems to be timid or holds back from putting forth realities, while the other side have not been at all timid in spreading vicious misinformation, vicious lies, etc., etc., etc. So that's the reason I named it that on the Coffee Party site, for the sake of others' sensibilities. I was a bit less candid. But anyway, on my blog post, my site, Rich Attacks Pope, Red State Citizens Sentenced to Death, I could not believe what I was seeing on CNBC. Cardinal Timothy Dolan was, in effect, apologizing for the Pope's excoriation of the misdeeds of the wealthy. A society is in trouble when the supposed template for its morality is implicitly owned by the plutocracy. That is the paper that I'm going to be reading from. There are 5 million Americans that could otherwise be, and the second topic will be there, 5 million Americans that could otherwise be insured by Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that will not in red states. Red state governors decided their ideology was more important than the lives and well-being of their constituencies. Folks, that is not a partisan statement. That is a statement of fact. We documented here in this one county, Galveston County, next to Harris County here in Houston, near Houston, Texas, the people at these hospitals that absent insurance simply not got sicker, but died. I went ahead and wrote a piece probably about 4 or 5 days ago, where I actually gave the first-hand account of a medical student who followed the path of this particular person that she knew she could save if she had the ability to provide him the treatment that he needed. Had he been able to live through 2014 in a state other than Texas, this man would have gotten the care that he needed. This man would have lived. The cancer spread, not that it was a violent cancer, the cancer spread because that's what they allowed it to do. He had no coverage. We allowed him, as a society, to die. That is a fact. Those are the realities of our healthcare system. And for those who are concerned about the amount of time you spent on this issue, if you care about humanity, if you really care about people, if you really don't look at folks as just numbers, it cannot help but have an impact in the way you view things through the world. It cannot help. Maybe personally, this has a bigger impact on myself, on me, because I have a wife with a pre-existing condition who has lupus, and work with many, many, many women who are on the verge. To be clear, and let me put this out there, Obamacare saved me a few bucks, but not the kind of money that's worth talking about. This is not about my personal situation. This is about situations that I see my wife in with other folks who are attempting to get by with these pre-existing conditions that they have. This is about how these people are suffering. This isn't an anecdotal thing. These aren't anecdotes. She watches people suffer. She tries to give whatever help possible where she can. But this is real. So whenever you hear somebody say, why are we talking about this again? Because right now, in our country, the richest country of the world, people are still dying. They're dying in silence. That's one thing about America now. Everybody has their privacy. They're suffering behind those four walls in their rooms, in their homes. That's the reality of what's going on in this country. That is the reality of millions. Now to my post. The ideology that sacrifices humanity to satisfy the rich. A few weeks ago, Pope Francis challenged unfettered capitalism. He called it a new tyranny. The Pope is justifiably concerned with income and wealth inequality and the effects on the poor and humanity. Ken Langone, the billionaire that is spearheading the $180 million restoration of the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York, is concerned. He said, a potential seven-figure donor took exception to the Pope's statements. The donor is concerned about the Pope's criticizing market economies as exclusionary. The donor did not like phrases like culture of prosperity that leads some to become incapable of feeling compassion for the poor. Ken Langone took his concerns to Cardinal Timothy Dolan. What was amazing is how the cardinal in response seemed so subservient to the concerned wealthy donor. Instead of taking on the issue and the donor by the horns, he decided to change the Pope's message. He said, the Pope was misunderstood. He said the Pope loves both the rich and the poor and appreciated the gratitude of American philanthropy. Langone went on to tell the cardinal, remember, you get more with honey than with vinegar. For those who believe in Jesus, Cardinal Timothy Dolan made Judas and Peter seem like bastions of bravery. And before I continue, folks, please remember you can call in at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I'd love to hear what you think, what's on your mind. 646-929-2495. For those who believe in Jesus, Cardinal Timothy Dolan made Judas and Peter seem like the bastions of bravery. You guys remember what Peter and Judas did, right? They weren't quite the bastions of bravery when Jesus was about to be crucified, not by a long shot. Whatever happened to using that moment as a teaching moment, it was not a moment for retreat. It was a moment to remind these Christians about what their religion preaches in Matthew 19:25. And what does that say? Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. He should have reminded the wealthy donor about James 1:10. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. But let's forget about the scripture and dive into the present. The Pope was not misunderstood. He understands that capitalism as practice is unsustainable and that systemic poverty throughout the world is the byproduct in many ways. The Pope has lived among those in abject poverty and understands that many of the poor in this country, in his country, Argentina, was a direct result of the ills of capitalism. This is best explained in Naomi Klein's The Shock Doctrine. Check it out when you get a chance. Timothy Dolan bowing to the mighty dollar is a travesty. He is no different than the evangelical preachers that have made capitalism their god. The actions of these religious leaders have consequences. They hurt the poor, and the middle class when they bow to the rich. They hurt the poor and middle class when they give tacit acceptance to the selfishness and thievery of many in the wealthy class. Where were the outcries, or where were the outcry and the empathy from religious leaders when Texas Governor Rick Perry and other red state governors sentenced many of their citizens to death by failing to accept the Medicaid expansion to Obamacare? Where is the outcry and empathy for Americans working 40 hours a week and unable to live without assistance? Where is the outcry and empathy to the refusal to extend a helping hand, employment compensation for the unemployed? Most are employed specifically because of this new tyranny the Pope speaks about. Governor Rick Perry wrote an op-ed about the Affordable Care Act in the Dallas Morning News that is nothing short of evil. He continues to support junk medical insurance for companies profiting from the poor and middle class premiums that don't pay or pay little. He, however, makes a statement, and 412, I see you on, I'll be coming to you next. He, however, makes a statement that at the core sounds somewhat inconsequential. It is the new Republican ideology which seems to have tacit approval from the cloth. Here it goes. Another consequence of Obamacare is the effort to cram people into an already broken and costly Medicaid system without any reforms, increasing income disregards, eliminating asset testing, and forcing previously ineligible individuals into Medicaid, all function as a backdoor expansion of Medicaid. Yet, Obamacare's own system to transfer Medicaid applicants to Texas doesn't even work, says Rick Perry in his op-ed. The short-sightedness of said stance, said ideology, is profound. If one gets a helping hand without having to be destitute, the ability to grow out of poverty is that much greater. One has a base to build from. In Rick Perry's world, the Republican world, you must be relegated to a permanent underclass or die on the path to permanent underclass seeking health care. This is not hyperbole, folks. It's reality. Where is the outcry from Cardinal Timothy Dolan? The one wealthy donor sure got a response. He got a response to Langone. He got a response in a live interview on CNBC. Who speaks for the middle class? Who speaks for the poor? Who does? If we won't, who will? Unfortunately, most of the indigent in America gets no press. They suffer in silence. They feel as if they have no voice. As such, they do not vote. They do not participate in the body politic. The constant attack on them by Rick Perry and his ilk demoralizes them. The Pope gave many a ray of hope. Cardinal Timothy Dolan and many others of the cloth have proven useless as they give the American plutocracy's pseudo-approval to be evil. It is our civic responsibility as Americans who love democracy to ensure the failure of this ideology's immoral endeavors. It is time to get up from the keyboard and computer screen and help that demoralized neighbor. It is time to engage them, talk to them, listen to their problems, share their problems, help them with solutions, and bring them back into the body politic. It is time that all Americans know this is their country, and it is up to them to take away the reins from those that have decimated the poor and the middle class as they built up the wealth of the few on their backs. It won't be the men of cloth in America. It will be you. It will be you who makes the difference. 412, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, Egberto. This is Greg in Pittsburgh. How are you today?
Greg, my brother, how are you doing, sir?
Doing really well, and glad you're still talking about the issue of in the United States, because it's not an issue that's going to go away. Clearly, it's going to be an issue that the Republicans are going to try and use in the upcoming election. And the question I have for everyone who opposes health care and health insurance reform is simply the point that you seem to be making very well here this morning. And it kind of comes down to that old meme, what would Jesus do?
Amen.
The only argument I hear coming from the opponents of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act and reform in the whole health care system itself goes back to money. And it seems to be centered almost exclusively around, what I could only describe as greed. If individuals who can't afford health insurance now can have access to it and have access to health insurance that is paid for to private insurance companies via a Heritage plan that we all know first in its trial in Massachusetts, if people are still opposed to that idea, what's the opposition to it? It comes down to money. Why? Some of us don't seem to want to stomach the idea that a poor person who couldn't have health care before now can potentially have access to it. It won't cover everybody. It's not Medicare for all. I mean, it's still not the right plan in my estimation. But the only opposition to it is somehow it's going to cost somebody else money, and they don't want to have to pay for their brothers and sisters to be able to gain access to the kind of health care system that everybody says is the best in the world, although it's not. But what is there another solution? I don't hear it. Is there another position? I don't hear it. It's about greed, and it's only about greed. And unless somebody can point me to some other argument or position, I'm going to continue to tell people who oppose the PPACA that they're simply being greedy. Am I missing something here?
No, Greg, you're absolutely right. 210, I'm coming to you next, but let me expand a little bit on Greg's point. And I'm glad you came and said what you said at the time that you said it, because evidently there are many out there, in fact, many on our side as well, who sometimes believe we need to modify the tenor with which we speak about this evil that is being placed upon many folks. I mean, and it's an evil. I mean, I am passionate about this, and you are passionate about this, because we really care. And I'm not saying that a lot of folks that are opposed don't care, but that is what it is our responsibility, Greg, to go out there and put out the reality, the nasty effects that come from this opposition, and also remove the fallacies that quantifies this opposition. Because there's something that I always talk about, and you know I always say it. Democrats, Republicans, independents, all human beings around here in generally are good people. We have a whole lot of bad folks. Most of them are good people. But good people can be misled. And when some people cower, when it is time to simply lay out the realities, they are just as complicit in the misinformation that is going out there. Because it is like if you see a kid about to jump off a cliff and it's within your purview to get that kid and stop them from jumping, and you let that kid jump because, well, you didn't want to get involved, I am sorry. I am of the opinion that we are our brother's keeper, and that is what separates us from the wild kingdom. I honestly believe that. We have to be a part of solutions, and we have to be where there's not good being done. It is our responsibility to do so. I'm leaving you hot, Greg, but I'm bringing in John from San Antonio. I have that number memorized. John, talk to me, my brother.
Hey, Happy New Year, Egberto.
Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, it was an excellent essay. Looking forward to reading it again tomorrow. Looking forward to all the comments. Had a lot of great comments on last Sunday's post that you did about the guy who didn't want to get the insurance because he wanted to roll the dice because he's a youngster. And you got a lot of support for that. Incredible support.
It is kind of funny because I got torn up for a couple of days before. Then I put that one up and it went pretty well. But I mean, what I was glad is that while some people were very negative on the young man, a lot of people were there to give advice. And in fact, I got some personal emails asking me for his direct information so they could talk to him. They were actually concerned about him.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, he made a pretty bad decision, and it's unfortunate. But I think he's, like you said before, he's done a lot of good things as far as helping the community with the Occupy movement. So I think his heart seems to be in the right place. I think he's just wrong about this particular issue. So that's a good thing. I want to talk a little bit about an article I read in the Texas Observer that kind of ties in to what you're talking about. It's by came out a couple of days ago, and it's by Melissa Del Bosque. It says, lives are at stake. The lack of insurance will certainly mean more deaths. How many more? Approximately 9,000 a year, according to Dr. Howard Brody, director of the Institute for Medical Humanities at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. Brody calculated that figure from extrapolating from a recent Harvard University study published in the New England Journal of Medicine that found that states that expanded Medicaid saw a 6.1% reduction in the death rate among adults below 65 who qualified for the program. In a recent op-ed in the Galveston Daily News, Brody wrote, "This means that we can predict with reasonable confidence if we fail to expand Medicaid, 9,000 Texans will die each year for the next several years as a result. Too often, the political debate around Medicaid expansion is about dollars and cents," Brody told me recently. "It's presented as if it wasn't about life and death," he said. Brody teaches ethics to medical students at UTMB, so for him, the issue of Medicaid expansion, when you cut through the rhetoric and the endless policy discussion, is a deeply moral question. Should Texans allow people to die simply because they can't afford health insurance? Whose life and death are we talking about? And Brody, who treated Medicaid patients for decades before becoming a professor at UTMB, politically the Medicaid population are simply invisible folks. Most people, most Americans, may not care very much because they think, I'm not in that group of people, and that's somebody else, and so it's somebody else's problem. So I think it's good that you know, we're getting more and more people. It seems like there's more of a and more of a groundswell about, you know, Medicaid expansion in the states that haven't expanded it, which are about 25 states, I believe. And
right.
I believe that the ACA is going to work pretty well, you know, because of the history I've talked so much about in the world, in European countries and all the other, you know, industrial countries that have a form of universal health care. I mean, once it's been installed, almost it's very rare for people to ever go back from a system. And that's why I think the Republicans fought it so hard tooth and nail. But as it becomes successful, it will be to their detriment because, you know, they're going to say, well, you know, just a year ago, you were saying that we should get rid of it. And now they want to have another vote. I was just reading this morning to get rid of the whole thing. Now, 9 million people, I think it's 4 million people for Medicaid expansion have signed up, 2 million for the exchanges, and then 3 million more who have insurance because who are under 26. So, I mean,
right.
They started having insurance before. So that's 9 million people. All those 9 million people, you're just going to say, well, sorry, you don't have health and insurance anymore. Sorry, you had preconditions. You know, you can't have health insurance. You're going to have to go into the – if your state happens to have one of these exchanges for the, you know, what do they call them, high-risk exchanges. Maybe
high-risk
you get
pool.
Insurance that way. High-risk pools, that's right. But, I mean, other than that, you're not going to be able to have insurance. This is going to work, and this is going to be successful. And, you know, and then hopefully – more progressives will be elected, and then we can go from there on fighting income inequality and the other big issues of the day.
Well,
like
you know,
to,
offer, go ahead, Greg.
I was just going to offer a support for what John is saying, but in some respects, I have a slightly different prediction as to what's going to happen when the evidence really does start to pile up and mount up and become undeniable that the move that we've made with the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is working for Americans. What's going to happen, my prediction, is the Republicans are going to claim victory because you're going to say, this was our plan all along.
Yes. You know, so, guess what's so interesting about what you said, Greg? Rachel Maddow made an interesting observation earlier this week. And it's a quick off subject, but it shows how the ideology works. You remember in Florida, they made drug testing. They forced people to drug test who wanted welfare or something to that effect. And it turned out that the people who were seeking welfare were 400% less likely to be or four times less likely to actually be on drugs than the population at large. So it was a whole lot wasted money that went in there. Well, what did Alec do? They went to several other states, and they still went promoting that it's a good thing because they did actually find a couple of people that took drugs. So, I mean,
it's the same fraudulent argument that they perpetrate when it comes to in-person voter fraud. It doesn't
exactly
happen, but somehow
right.
we have to have IDs in order to cast a vote when there's not never been a demonstrated problem. It's the same set of lies. And you know what? You do take the higher ground, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. We're living in an age in which lies are accepted by too many people in the United States as if it was fact, and all it is ideological lie. That's
right,
what
but you know, you're right, Greg. There's one interesting thing, though, and this, and tell me if you can There are some people that disagree with what the president is doing because of who the president is. I don't think that's the vast majority. I think that, you know, we can cut that to the Tea Party groups and et cetera. There are others that are doing it for an ideological reason, but because the ideology is a failed ideology, they have to create plausibility for the ideology, and I think that is where the lies that you're talking about come in. And it is sad, but it is why we need the Greg Rusek, the John, and we need, you know, all the other folks that are involved here to continue doing this. And it's, and whenever someone stops you from doing this, you know, they're doing no favors to humanity. They're doing no favors to the fellow Americans. They're doing
right.
They're doing a disservice. And a lot of the reasons that supplies, look, I remember back in the 80s, actually, I kind of liked Reagan's demoneer way of being. It. So, I mean, it was charming. Coming from Central America and seeing a guy act like that really was kind of charming to me then. But I never did believe in supply-side economics. But Americans, if you know, kind of looked at his positive way of being into supporting this sort of economics that has screwed us over time. Now, even his partner, Bush, when he called it voodoo economics, knew it was crap, okay? But we allowed that to fester, and we've lived 30 years under that. Are we to do that with healthcare again? Are we to do that with income inequality again? Of course, we have to change the name from income inequality to something that means something more to people. You know, you tell, you go to the guy who's working and saying you're in this condition because of the income inequality, he's going to say, huh? You know,
well,
so
the ideologies that whether they're left, right, or center are meant to couch the self-serving lies in some amount of believability and believable rhetoric. And so too many of our fellow Americans, I think, hear the ideology of trickle-down economics. They hear the ideology of libertarianism. They hear the ideology of the conservative movement in terms of what values we should have as a society. They then believe the lies about people either of color or people who are poor or people who have, you know, a different sensibility about what a society's values ought to be. And then they vote against their own interests in support of what I consider to be the bigger money lies coming from the right. It's not just the right. The left does it too. But it's not in equal measure. And we've got to stop people in their tracks when they say both sides do it. They don't do it in the same way. They don't do it in the same measures. And they don't do it, I believe, for the same outcomes. It's not...
You're absolutely correct. It's interesting that you said the left does it as well. I mean, because, you know, it is something, and I don't know if you saw this, John, when I posted on the on Daily Coast. When I got attacked at the Daily Coast for my opinions on Snowden, there, you know, John and others convinced me that some of my wording wasn't the best, and I adjusted it as such for the entire public to see. But the slices that continued, you know, there were people who were just not reading justifications or just making absolute statements, just like the right. And in effect, that's what I told them. I said, if we want people to listen to us differently than they listen to the other side, we have to start by making sure we also listen to each other. We cannot fall into that trap that the other side falls into. When I say the other side, I mean that part of the right that is simply living in la-la land. So I'm glad that you said that you know, parts of the left suffer from the same problem, but it is by no means organized. In fact, the part of the left that suffers that problem generally has very little power, and a lot of that is a reaction to the lack of power that they have. The problem with the right,
right.
is they have power. They have more power than mainstream. You know, when you take a look at the Koch brothers, which combined are the second richest people in the entire world, it tells you something, you know, and they're fighting to ensure that they maintain that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to support what you're saying and add to it that I've always been actually to a degree envious of how well the conservative movement, especially the ultra-conservative movements, have done at organizing and taking action. That has, in my estimation, always been the weak spot in the progressive and liberal communities in the United States. There are 9 million kinds of ways you can do things. who never coalesce around something meaningful.
Let me tell you, Greg, did you read my piece, The Powell Memo, couple weeks ago?
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
right.
That guy, I mean, you can look at that as part of the genesis of that organization because
it's
sure worked. Yes.
It's a blueprint. It's a blueprint to follow. And you know, in some respects, I think sometimes liberals and progressives consider the idea almost, it seems to me, and I could be wrong about this, and it's just my perspective, but I tend to think that liberals and progressives are so willing to go off and include everyone and to try and find a complete consensus that things never do get done, or don't get done well enough.
You are so right, and you know, I think I've heard even Marcus at Daily Coast says that a few times. I mean, you know, sometimes they simply do not lend themselves to what's necessary for a fight. And I hate to use the word, you know, what's necessary for a fight, but that is what we're in, a fight.
That's right.
It is.
That's right.
Really
it is
a fight.
And that's the way we ought to be talking about it. We ought to be talking about it like it's a fight because that's what it is. You know, we can take the high ground because of our ethics, our values, and our desired outcomes, but we can't pretend it's not a fight because it is
right.
a fight.
And you lose. The thing about it is, you know, I look at some folks and it's like, you know, a lot of people can play nice after they've won a fight, right? And that's what they do, right? I mean, you win, the war is over, you play nice and you forget all the atrocities that happened during the war. But I mean, the thing about it is we don't have to get vicious in any manner or of sort, but what we have to do is be steadfast. We have to be steadfast. Now, the first subject that I was talking about today, there's another call. Hold on. Let me bring in 620. I think this is my buddy.
Okay.
620,
okay.
Come on in.
Okay, this is Jack Golding.
Jack.
And I just want to say, we have two things. Again, if we're talking about fighting, I think it's about time we fight. And that is, there's an alliance between the Tea Party and the Koch brothers. And you got to know that even Karl Rove is fighting the Tea Party.
Can you believe that?
It's hard to believe. And number two... I write frequently. I have a sort of a blog, and I get some negative reactions to even criticizing the Koch brothers and Tea Party. I have negative. I don't know who's negative, but I know they got probably friends in over 700 friends, and. They are, I know at least one of them is Tea Party and South Carolina, and another one is, there's some others that are like, I don't know who, but you're going to get...
Jack, let me give you some advice. Here's me giving my good friend that could be my dad a little bit of advice here, but here's a deal on the internet, right? Two things, first of all. There are keywords that people search for on the internet. And the Koch brothers and a lot of the other folks, they actually have paid people that scan all the negative comments that people make against them, including here on the radio. Every now and then, one particular person that comes on to the chat room, and I don't think he's here today, but there's one particular person that comes into the chat room that I know is a paid person that comes in to simply refute constantly anything that is said here. There are people who address my blogs, who address my write-ins, your write-ins, believe it or not, that they are there to search whenever something comes up, because what they're trying to do is to ensure that opinion doesn't get turned against them, and they have the money to do it, but we have the volume of people in the middle class, in the poor class, who can actually overpower that if we can just mobilize. That's why I ended the blog that I wrote with the last paragraph that I did. And when I said, it is our civic responsibility as Americans who love democracy to ensure the failure of this ideology's immoral endeavors. It is our duty. It is our duty. We are not against any party. We are against an ideology that hurts human beings. And it is our duty to ensure it doesn't succeed. And how do you ensure it doesn't succeed? You do things that, like what we are all doing here, making sure that people hear what we're talking about. We give them valid information that they can see, and we share these things. Go ahead. Continue, Jeff.
Great. It's a question of power. And
yes.
The whole thing, you got to fight power.
Exactly.
Power is in the hands of the Tea Party, the ones that are finding some money.
Right.
And you're talking about Adelson giving her billions of dollars, and Koch brothers spending about $8 billion. Now for Koch brothers rule, they want to buy up 8 newspapers all over the country, including the Chicago Tribune and the Los Angeles Times and places in Buffalo, Buffalo and Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore
right.
Sun.
Right.
Yeah, and they wanted to do that. You got to fight that. And if you invoke Hitler,
right.
That would be to the Koch brothers, and they would be like Hitler and Mussolini.
Jack, you're absolutely right. You know, let me tell
you
that.
You got to be courage.
You know what? What we're doing, Jack, what we're doing is the right thing. What we're doing is the right thing. Now, folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. There are a lot of you guys in here, but nobody's calling up on the phone. I'd like to hear other opinions, whether you agree or disagree. We don't sit down and give people a hard time. So give us a call, 646-929-2495. I want to address this one here to John. John, earlier in the post that I read had to do with Timothy Dolan. Had you seen the CNBC interview that he did with regards to that rich donor that decided that, he doesn't like what the Pope has to say, and he may have to consider whether he's going to give seven figures to the church to rebuild the cathedral. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I did see that. Well, I mean, I think that Dolan is obviously got serious issues, and he's not committed to helping the poor as much as the Pope is. I mean, I think there were three different clips that I saw, and one of them dealt with he was talking about how the wealthy donor was misunderstanding the Pope, and
right.
That's not true at all. I mean, there was no misunderstanding the Pope. I mean, the Pope was very honest about what he felt, and so in another clip he was talking about how there were two extremes, and one he called pure unfettered capitalism, and the other one was socialism. Well, I think he was referring to communism instead of socialism, but that kind of
right.
Just showed the distortion that he would want to put in. Now, this is some of the things that Pope Francis did say in his 225 page manifesto. He said he critiqued trickle-down economics as naive trust in the goodness of those wielding economic power. In this context, some people continue to defend trickle-down theories, which assume that economic growth encouraged by a free market will inevitably succeed in bringing about greater justice and inclusiveness in the world. It says, this opinion, which has never been confirmed by the facts, expresses a crude and naive trust in the goodness of those wielding economic power and the sacralized workings of the prevailing economic system. It says, meanwhile, those excluded are still waiting. So, you know, that's a pretty provocative statement. And, you know, when he made that statement, I think it was on the 26th of November, I mean, it was, you know, headlines everywhere, all over the Internet, all over the news. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, this is about capitalism, this is about communism. I mean, there are different forms of capitalism. There, trickle-down is a more unregulated form that benefits the wealthy and has caused inequality for 80% of the population. Now, those other 20%, you know, have benefited. I think that a lot of people just talk about the 1%, but if you look at statistics, actually, the top 20% have benefited and have,
right,
you know, make more money, and most of those, almost all of them, are college people with college degrees. And so, you know, it's for 4 out of 5 people, it's hurt them. For 1 out of 5, it's helped them. And so, I mean, I think the Pope is in the right place, and I think he's leading. He's incredibly popular. He has 75% approval rating in America. And I think Dalton really is going to have to come to grips with the Pope is really talking about. And, you know,
well,
that's a travesty.
Yes,
it's a travesty.
It is. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, just spending that much money on renovating this, you know, cathedral. I mean, it's nice, it's beautiful, and I'm sure, you know, people enjoy going there and they're in awe of it. But, you know, is it really more important than, you know, helping feed more people? And
thank you.
I think that, yeah, I mean, the distortion, what a lot of the rich donors and the guy from, what is it, Home Depot, he was talking about, we do give money. In other words, you know, it's the kind of 1,000 points of light theory that, you know, the first Bush was talking about. Is like, let's not put it in our laws. Let's leave it up to charity. Well, if you just leave it up to charity, people are going to be left out. I mean, people need help.
But it's deeper than that. I agree with that wholeheartedly, but there's something, and I don't know if it was in this paper or the other paper, but it is, you know, it is like saying, I come to your house, John, I steal everything out of your home, and then I start to give you, oh, you need a pot? Here's a pot. I'm donating a pot to you. I'm being gratuitous. I'm being nice to you. I'm giving you a pot. But let's remember how I got the pot in the first place. I stole it. And people don't like to hear that. But, you know, I mean, when an insurer, you know, I always go back to healthcare somehow. When an insurer, when the sole purpose of an insurance company is to pay a bill, you know, you're going to have the experts on the other side say, no, the insurance company is there to actually manage risk. And I'm like, the only reason they have to manage risk is to make a profit. And the only reason, because there really in America should be one and only one risk pool, the health state of America. And if you had one risk pool, you won't have the disparity with some people paying more than others out of context or out of context with what they make. So, I mean, the reality is I believe in some form of very, very regulated capitalism in order to have the part that encourages people to develop, create, be innovative. I'm a businessman myself. I created software. I created a few pieces of hardware, and yes, I enjoyed the profits of these guys, but at the same time, I don't think there should be some unlimited benefit from doing one or two or three things in such a manner that it hurts others. And I think that's where we are. We hurt people with our plutocracy. But I think we covered the two subjects we wanted to cover, and as you know, the show is now just 1 hour, so I have a one-minute segment to play, and then I'm going to ask you guys to give me a closing statement.
Hello, everyone. This is John Cashin, host of the Coffee Party Radio Civics Minute. Did you know that the Coffee Party is funded by our listeners and fans, and not by the super PACs, think tanks, or by a super wealthy individual wanting to buy the American way? The Coffee Party USA is powered by the people and your passion to bring positive change to our country, but we need your help to continue. With just a small donation, you can help us continue bringing Americans together for a dialogue that attempts to bypass the normal partisan rhetoric that is so common today. The Coffee Party USA is striving to bring you original content from editorials, fact-checking, and video documentaries, while also working to bring you the latest information from all of the 535 congressional districts. No matter what party we may belong or what issues that we follow, one thing is always clear. We are all Americans. Please go to coffeepartyusa.nationbuilder.com/donate and donate what you can to help us move our country forward, united with one voice, e pluralis unum. From Paducah, Kentucky, this is John Cashin.
Well, folks, we're going to be closing out the show. I just want to tell you one piece of information here. I'm now on KPFT here in Houston, FM 90.1 on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you're not in the Houston FM market, you can actually listen to it online at kpft.org. That is Wednesdays at 10 p.m. I'm going to ask my great listeners here now to close out the show, starting with Jack Golden. A quick, give me 30 seconds, Jack.
Okay, this is short and sweet. I remember to fight anything all these lies from Fox News, which I never read. And if I do, I'll go for it.
Great.
Make fun of Fox.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Make fun of Fox, and that's my closing statement. My passing, yeah.
Thank you very much, Jack. You're a good man. I appreciate it very much. Greg Rusak.
Hey, great show, Egberto. Thanks for the opportunity to have the dialogue. I'm a big fan of it, of course. I would say this, I guess, is kind of the wrap-up of what I've been hearing, and that is, I would love to live in a country where so-called Christians actually live by the teachings of Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much, Jack. Jean.
Yeah, I'm going to end with a few sentences from Bill de Blasio's speech on New Year's Day. It says, I feel a particular affinity because I did live in New York City for about 11 years. So it says, it was New Yorkers who challenged the status quo, who blazed a trail of progressive reform and political action, who took on the elite, who stood up to say that social and economic justice that will start here and it will start now. Let me be clear when I say that I would take dead aim at the tail of two cities, and I meant it, and we will do it.
Wow, that is prescient. I love it. I actually heard it. And thank you very much for telling that to the audience at large. Folks, please remember, we have 5 Coffee Party shows now. There is Progressive Politics Tennessee Style with Bud Fields on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern. There's Press One for Democracy with Dan Aronson on Mondays at 10 p.m. There is The Middle Ground with Eric Weiler at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays. And there is Lunch with Loudon, and that show is Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, you're with me Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, Politics Done Right. Please have a wonderful Saturday. This is a new year, folks. Let's do it right. Let's go ahead and make a difference. Let's not let the moneyed interest win. Let's work for the middle class. This is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. Thank you very much for giving me the honor of having you listen to the show. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.